Blog Talk Radio.
Did you know there's a secret place to expand your mind? A place to escape the same old negative news? Welcome to Colombo Chronicles Live with Rose Colombo, award-winning author, cable TV and radio host, poet, and advocate for justice. Rose has been seen and heard on local and national TV and radio. She's consulted with victims of injustice for more than 20 years. Her articles have been published in major and local newspapers and magazines. Listen live as Rose Colombo welcomes prominent authors and experts to her podcast every Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. Pacific Time at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles. You can call in and ask questions at 646-564-9742. Follow Rose Colombo every Wednesday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. on Colombo Chronicles Live at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles.
Listening is an art that humans are losing to the world of robots. Robots don't have any tone or human feelings. The addiction to communicate by texting isn't going away. People are feeling isolated, lonely, frustrated. People need people willing to listen to them. Can you imagine getting a text message that read, "You're fired," or "Hi, would you marry me?" It is happening. Colombo Chronicles is the option and the answer to human communication. Colombo Chronicles provides email access to your ideas and issues. Take advantage of this opportunity now. Go to ColomboChronicles.com. Click on subscribe today. Colombo is spelled C-O-L-O-M-B-O Chronicles. Fill out the form, submit it, bookmark and subscribe today. Remember the name, ColomboChronicles.com.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure, be sure to bring your appetite.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
Hi, everyone. It's the Rose, Rose Colombo, right here for you on Colombo Chronicles Live at Worldwide Online Podcast Radio over here in the good old USA on the West Coast. But you can listen in anywhere in the world live at Blog Talk Radio. All shows are archived, so you can come back and Google www.blogtalkradio. That's blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles. And you can scroll on down and check for your favorite authors, experts, community leaders, and topics, and listen in at any time. You can also check out my Rose for Justice blogs at www.roseforjustice.com. And you can find this consumer advocate for justice just about anywhere on Facebook and at Twitter. And that's Twitter at Rose for Justice. And that is, again, the number 4. I hope everyone's doing well today. And speaking of wellness, we have a really dynamic guest, and she is the author of a book entitled I'm Hopeless, I'm Crazy. And it affects all of us because many, many women, and men too, but many women, because because of the hormonal imbalances, chemical imbalances, childbirth, and so forth, that can cause imbalance in our minds and our thoughts and actions. So her book is all about her mother's battle with mental illness. And I'm sure that's happened to many of us, especially now that dementia is on the rise, and also Alzheimer's is one of the top three killers in America today. So we really want to be aware of how we can help ourselves, as well as how we can help our relatives, friends, neighbors, and fellow Americans. And knowledge is power. And when we become proactive and we listen to stories, true stories, and people who are willing to provide us with self-help, then, of course, we are ahead of the game. So let me tell you a little bit about our special guest who will be coming up in the world of authors and experts. Her name is Linda Ray Anderson. She's not only an author, but she studied and practiced in the field of natural medicine for over 4 years. And she has worked as a general practitioner in clinical practice for 26 years, providing care in the field of acupuncture, oriental medicine, and other modalities of natural medicine. And so we know that the government and big pharma are not favorable so much to natural cures. And it's been very sad because dozens of natural care doctors have been in the news, most recently as having suddenly passed away. And so this battle, it appears, continues on with those who are involved in sharing their stories and their successes with natural cures, when the prescription drugs many times cause more adverse side effects and more problems and sometimes even death. So this is going to be extremely important that we listen up and find out as much information as possible about natural cures. As you know, I've had many guests who have cured themselves and have told their testimonials, and now they're sharing their stories and their techniques with other people around the nation and around the world. So while we await the interview with our very special guest, Linda Ray Anderson, there is an article I came across that I found rather intriguing, and it was by Gatestone Institute, the International Policy Council, and it was written by Ghassan Tawee and J. Christian Adams, who wrote The Swamp Strikes Back, and Ghassan Tawee, Palestinians, and it says, Burn the Jews. That's really scary, and it was published on June 7th, just recently. I had never heard of fire kites. I don't know if you heard of fire kites, but I had never heard of fire kites. So it really did catch my attention along with the title. And it says, there are two important factors that the international community needs to notice regarding the fire kites that the Palestinians are sending to Israel from the Gaza Strip. First, those who are launching the kites are making it clear that their ultimate goal is to kill as many Jews as possible and bring about the obliteration of Israel. Second, the Palestinians see all Jews living in Israel as settlers. The Palestinians are now also telling us that the terror kites they are sending to Israel in accord with what the Quran orders Muslims to do in the fight against the infidels. They apparently see the flaming kites as part of the jihad, holy war, against the enemies of their God and Islam. A quote by Abu al-Majid Iteris stated, "We want to set fire to Israel so that the Jews will be burned or forced to leave their country." Well, that is really, really sad news to hear that they have fire kites. Of course, this has been going on, these battles between Palestine and Israel for generations. But, you know, we really need to pray that peace comes back into the world and that humanity is at the forefront and that people start realizing that it is positive thoughts and proactive, positive deeds that will bring about peace in the world. Because all people in the world, really and truly, just need to hold hands and positive thoughts and put them into the universe so that they come back and spread instead of all of these negative deeds and words and thoughts that are being sent out into the world wrongfully against humanity. Life is precious and life is a gift, and no one should have their life taken away wrongfully, period. So we should all try to get along. And on that note, we're going to enter into the world of authors and experts. We're going to take a little break. And just as soon as we come back, we're going to talk about a fantastic book. And the title, again, is I'm Hopeless, I'm Crazy. And it's all about Linda Rae Anderson's mother's battle with mental illness. And that mental illness is a serious problem today for many, many individuals, their families, friends, neighbors, as we know and see in the news every single day. So this is really important self-help and testimonial and information that you won't want to miss. And we'll be back in just a moment on Columbo Chronicles Live with The Rose.
Listening is an art. An art that humans are losing to the world of robots. Robots don't have any tone or human feelings. The addiction to communicate by texting isn't going away. People are feeling isolated, lonely, frustrated. People need people willing to listen to them. Can you imagine getting a text message that read, "You're fired," or "Hi, would you marry me?" It is happening. Columbo Chronicles is the option and the answer to human communication. Columbo Chronicles provides email access to your ideas and issues. Take advantage of this opportunity now. Go to columbochronicles.com. Click on subscribe today. Columbo is spelled C-O-L-O-M-B-O Chronicles. Fill out the form, submit it, bookmark and subscribe today. Remember the name, columbochronicles.com.
Columbo Chronicles Live. Columbo is on their trail. Listen up at Columbo Chronicles Live.
Yes, we're back on Columbo Chronicles Live, and we're entering into the world of authors and experts, which we do every Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. on the west coast of the good old USA. That's Pacific Standard Time. You need to check your time in your state or country. And again, I want to thank all the countries that listen in every Wednesday to our experts and authors on a myriad of topics, from romance to health to natural cures to motivational coaches to corruption to the mafia. You name it, we have it. So you can always come back to blogtalkradio.com/Columbo Chronicles at any time. All shows are archived. Scroll on down and listen to your favorite topic and your favorite expert. But now we're going to enter into the world of authors and experts with an expert and an author. Her name is Linda Rae Anderson, and she's the author of I'm Hopeless, I'm Crazy. and it's not about her. It's about her mother's battle with mental illness. And again, she studied and practiced in the field of natural medicine for over 40 years. She's worked as a general practitioner in clinical practice for 26 years, providing care in the field of acupuncture, oriental medicine, and other modalities of natural medicine. As a private consultant, she facilitates wellness groups at a substance abuse residential rehab recovery facility. Through clinical experience, her book, and work as a private consultant, she is now specializing in the field of mental health, we all know is needed in America and around the world. In addition to her clinical practice and private consulting, Linda offers the NADA, N-A-D-A, it stands for National Acupuncture Detoxification Association Protocol, a five-needle ear puncture therapy in a group setting for the treatment of substance abuse, stress, anxiety, depression, insomnia, PTSD, cravings, trauma, and pain. Through these services, her book, and public speaking, she aspires to reach more people with safe, effective, economical health care and be part of the situation to bring forth mental and emotional balance globally. So let's just get started because we need this information and we're anxious to hear about her book. And let's welcome author Linda Rae Anderson. Hello, Linda. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Rose.
Oh, you're so welcome. And I want to welcome you to Colombo Chronicles because this is a really serious topic. And as we all know, dementia and Alzheimer's is reaching the top of the 10 top deaths in America. And it's a serious problem. So, of course, we're all concerned about mental illness, and it can affect anybody. So what is the book all about in your eyes? I'm hopeless, I'm crazy, all about?
Well, the book takes place between 1950 and 1970, and my mother was diagnosed as a psychiatric patient with the diagnosis of paranoid schizophrenia for over 35 years. She went through every known conventional treatment during that process of trying to get well outside of a lobotomy. And at the age of 60, I was actually 27 at the time, she fell into her last major breakdown. And at this point, the protocol that was prescribed was injections of Thorazine, Prolixin, and Valium in a kind of a cocktail, three-week protocol, and it left my mother in a catatonic condition, hopelessly insane, and we didn't think that she was going to live. She did make it through it, and at that point, I had already been studying. I was 27 and at the time, and I had been studying in the field of natural medicine for approximately 5-6 years, and I had reaped many benefits, and I just felt that something else possibly could be done for her that hadn't been approached before. And I went on a search, and in the process of the search, I felt that it was life-threatening to leave her in the hands of the same psychiatrist. So that was number one, finding a psychiatrist that I felt would work with therapies that would be more beneficial for her. And we, in kind of a roundabout way, because they're still not widely found, I was able to locate an orthomolecular psychiatrist. And these are psychiatrists that have all the conventional training and degrees, but they've gone a step further in their education into doing much more extensive environmental and lab studies, trying to get to the underlying causes of mental illness and not just skirting the surface with drugs, hospitalization, and electroshock therapy. So we went on a 3-year, I guess you would call it a journey, together, myself and three other medical practitioners, including this orthomolecular psychiatrist, and my mother completely overcame her illness to live a very satisfying, fulfilling, enriching life. She became the mother and grandmother that I nor the grandchildren had before. And it's about her recovery. It's about a lot of other options, a lot of other things that I hope that people would look into. It's about...
So when did you realize that, and when was she diagnosed with mental illness?
Well, she was diagnosed... I don't know exactly when she was diagnosed, because I know that she had had a couple in my early childhood. I remember at least two hospitalizations that were short-term. And then when I was 11 years old, she self-committed herself to a state institution. And that's when I was aware. So obviously she was diagnosed, you know, when I was very young, probably in the early 50s or before. I think she was diagnosed when she was a young adult. I would say probably when she was maybe in her early 20s. But at age 11, she self-committed herself. At my age 11, my mother self-committed herself because she didn't feel like she could be on the outside anymore, and she was a danger to herself. And she remained in the institution for 5 years. That was the last time that I had her as a mother. So the other thing I was going to lead into is that the book is also about the first 30 years of how her illness impacted my life, because I was in the hierarchy of four children, just because of where my age fell. I was the child that was most impacted. When she went into the institution, I was 11, and so that spanned a time of 11 to 16, and my life just fell apart without her, because our father reneged on his responsibilities and became very negligent and neglectful and abusive, and we were, at that point, three children left at home. My sister was already married, but three children left at home to survive on her own. And like I said, because of my age, all my dreams and plans of going into medicine just went down the tubes, and it was a life of survival, and I became a teenage alcoholic.
Did you have to become the mother? Did you end up
had one younger
like
sister. Well, I was the second. My brother became the mother, actually, because he was the oldest one left at home. So he became the mother and the father, and to myself and my younger sister. And and I became, my escape was alcohol, so I became a teenage alcoholic. And I was able to come out of that on my own, but it was very... very difficult, and I lost all hopes and dreams, and I felt there was no love and support. And so I just wanted to demonstrate I'm very well balanced and healed now, but going through that as a young person, just to demonstrate the impact that mental illness has on other people outside of the patient involved.
Well, and I think it also shows that, you know, young people who are put in these positions, not of their own choosing, but it just happens that many young people turn to drugs and alcohol to numb themselves and try to forget about all of these situations, because it's overwhelming when you're a kid and you can't understand it all because you're a kid, and it's more than a kid should have to go through to begin with, and more responsibility. So it's not surprising that a teenager would turn to alcohol or drugs to try and numb their pain and the responsibility that was forced on them because of the adults. So did your father and mother remain married? Or
no,
did they separate?
No, my father was very anxious to divorce my mother, but the laws at that time didn't allow him to, as long as she was institutionalized. But as soon as she did get out through the support of her sisters, and at that point in time, he filed for divorce. So my mother actually, she was able to reform her life through, like I said, the help of her sisters. But when she reached, so for about 10 years, she actually worked at a very responsible job for the probation department as a dictaphone typist. But when she was getting ready to retire, I always felt that she wasn't strong mentally because she never really got down to the underlying causes of the problem. And and when I went to her with problems I had, she couldn't help me. And when she was 60 and retired, she started ruminating on all these different things, and pretty soon she was back into a mental problem. And that's when she had confided in me. She had already been seeing a psychiatrist, a pharmaceutical psychiatrist, who had her on medication, and it wasn't working for her, because mind you, 30% of the population on medication, it doesn't work. And so they're always looking for something else. But that's when he hospitalized her and put her on the very extreme drug protocol for her. And that's at that point is when I took over. I needed to, I found out I was pretty much powerless, because being her daughter, I really couldn't remove her from the care of the psychiatrist, even though I had this other psychiatrist that I hoped would be more helpful for her. I ended up having to go to court and become her legal guardian, and I was granted that conservatorship, and at that point we started that 3-year process of healing.
Well, you mentioned Thorazine, and Thorazine was very, very popular for a very long time. I don't know if they're still using it today, but and people ended up walking around like zombies once they were injected with Thorazine. And it's like their whole body was numbed up in their brain, and they were just like zombies. So I don't know how that helps people overcome mental illness, other than just puts them in a catatonic stage where they can't possibly, do anything that is functional. It appeared to me when I worked for the chief of psychiatry back in the 80s, and I saw a lot of people that were placed on Thorazine. So that always bothered me. So when you mentioned it, I don't know if that is still a key drug, but that was one of the key drugs they injected into people at that time. And
yes.
So, like you said, it didn't cure them. It just put them in a catatonic stage. So your goal was to help your mother live a normal life. And so your search and your passion to help your mother began when she, did I understand correctly, when she was 60?
Yes.
Okay. So then did she agree to allowing you to help her, and was she living with you, or how did you do that? How did you end up helping your mother?
Well, when she, we knew that she was going to live through that experience of the catatosis. I had found this orthomolecular psychiatrist that I hoped to get her transferred over to, and then I went through the whole process of the legal process with getting the conservatorship and being able to, because she was deemed incompetent at that point in time. So they felt that I was responsible. So I was at a party that could take over the basic control of her life. She was in a vegetative state at that point, but, you know, the hospital was only going to keep her so long. So I felt pretty unsettled myself still at that point in my life. And that was actually during the 70s, and it was an energy crisis, and there was a lot going on in our country with the recession and things, and people were out of work, and so we were kind of barely getting by, my husband and my daughter and I, and we didn't really have a place to have my mother. We lived in a kind of broken-down 22-foot trailer at that time, and in the country, and my mother's a city person, so what I did was, I brought her home to her apartment, which was very difficult because it was like a mama with a chick under her wing. And if anyone would have, I kept her at home. She didn't go out in public because I was afraid that the authorities would take her away from me. And so I was just so determined that I just felt she could get well with another approach. So she became my full-time job. And when it became so difficult because she was very resistant. Mind you, she had 35 years of trying every single thing that she felt that conventional medicine had to offer, and she was left hopelessly insane. And she felt that, remembering back being in the institution for five years, that people that reached that point went back to or stayed in the institution and never got out. They died there. And so that was her vision for herself. So for me to come in there and tell her, look, there is hope, you can get through this, you know, I'm there for you, was so out of her frame of reference. And all she could think of was she was hopeless, she was crazy, and there was no way to get well. And that's all we heard come out of her mouth when she started to speak again. So this was a vegetable, basically. She was really reduced to the lowest state that I've ever thought to ever see a human become. And we started from there. I stayed with her. I was able to, when we got her going to the physician, the psychiatrist, that he did extensive lab studies. He found out that there were a lot of imbalances, chemical imbalances going on that needed to be treated nutritionally, and with beginning to bring back things in her life that she was familiar with. So we just started. We started, and I tried to made all of her own foods, and found an organic garden, and part of it was that she was severely hypoglycemic, so we had to get on that regimen. And she had megavitamin therapy with replacing and supporting her with all the nutrients that her brain needed to function normally. And we just started. And there came a point where she was so resistant to hearing my voice that I brought in an LVN to do the daytime work. And she responded differently to her because she was not her daughter. Yeah, and so she encouraged her and got her. We got her knitting again. We got her getting back to exercising and all of the things that gave her purpose and importance again, and built her from the inside out, basically.
So what about your husband and your daughter? Were they okay with all the tension?
They didn't quite understand. My daughter was 8 years old at the time. She's now 50. So we have taken a long time to heal. We're completely healed now with our relationship. But she always felt that I, you know, chose grandma over her. And it was very difficult for her to understand. My husband didn't quite understand, but he was supportive in knowing if I thought I could help her get better. He was willing to pay for her supplements every month because she was so resistant to thinking it was nonsense, basically, that anything like that could help her think more clearly and get her out of the depression. But he paid for her supplements.
That's a very kind and good man. So many people don't realize the significance of nutrients for the brain. They don't think about that. They think about the kidneys and the stomach and the liver and the, you know, the muscles and bones. But many people don't think about, you know, and it hasn't been talked about a lot, about how the brain needs supplements as well to function properly. And and these chemical imbalances that need to be balanced out. And by experts such as you sought out. So what did these particular psychiatrists who are going a step beyond think about all the help that you were providing your mother with? It sounds like a lot of organic foods and nutrition, because nutrition was not something doctors were actually interested in or taught for many, many years. I don't know. You know, it seems as if they became more aware and self-taught, maybe, or educated themselves on the effects of nutrition because they were more into, like you said, into the prescription drugs and as the cure for everything. So these doctors who were going a step beyond, were they just surprised and thrilled about the results that they were seeing?
Well, this particular psychiatrist, when we went to it for our first appointment, I mean, his bookshelves looked like mine. He had many of the same nutritional books, botanical medicine, and because he believed in something more. And he did everything. This man was chief of staff at one of the key mental hospitals here in San Diego. But and he did work with, you know, medicine and very, you know, he did still work with, you know, occasional electroshock therapy, but that was never his first choice. So he went this route with more nutrition and megavitamin therapy, exercise. So we were a team. I mean, it was the first time I felt that I had a team going here. And then when we got the LVN in, she didn't know anything about anything about this protocol that I was suggesting for her to provide for my mother. But she was really willing, and she was so thankful to learn along the way and see how my mother was responding. So it became a very nice collective team, all for one purpose, to get my mother through this, to give my mother the tools to be able to manage, and ultimately heal her mental illness.
Let me ask you this question. What types of behaviors did your mother, appear to have that you felt were really serious, and the doctors felt were serious enough to put her on those medications or put her into a facility where they could control her behaviors? What types of experiences did you personally see and recognize, and that led you to seek out so much help and to be so helpful and become so knowledgeable about these issues on nutrition that ended up helping your mother in the end?
Primary symptoms that she displayed was severe depression and extreme suicidal tendencies.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they felt she was a danger to herself, and she couldn't, you know, because of the depression, it paralyzed her. She couldn't function. I mean, when I got her out of the ketosis, I mean, we couldn't even get her to do basic hygiene. So all of that was like working with an infant that was a grown person. So those
were
the main reasons.
Yeah.
And I want to mention, too, here that I feel that all medical approaches for treating mental illness, I lean towards natural medicine, but I'm very open to understanding that sometimes there can be a need for a mild, you know, small dose of a psychotropic medicine to help in the process. But to focus entirely on that end, our electroconvulsive therapy, our institutionalization, I just feel there's so much more than those things. And oftentimes people don't need the medication when they start to
really
support
sad,
stuff.
Linda, and what's really sad, Linda, is that, you know, Big Pharma has become Big Pharma for big profits, and nutrition is not being promoted like the prescription drugs. And then you have the illegal drugs as well coming in, and we have so many people on an epidemic of opioids today that are addictive. And so we have all these other problems, and so the nutrition is being diminished, and the organic foods are so expensive, and some cities are so evil with evil people that they will punish people who grow organic vegetables and fruits on their own property, believe it or not, in some cities, and punish them. So I think your book is very, very important, and we are talking to author Linda Rae Anderson, and Rae is spelled R-A-E, and Anderson is A-N-D-E-R-S-O-N. And the name of her book is I'm Hopeless, I'm Crazy. It's all about her mother's battle with mental illness and all the work she did with her team that she sought out and all the research she did as far as nutrition goes and being patient and loving and kind and consistent and not giving up, which most people would give up. It would just be too much for them to do what you've done. So what would you say is the most important message in your book?
I think there's several messages, but I think one of the most important messages is that the brain is an organ. The brain is an organ just like any other organ in the body. It needs to be fed. There is actually a DVD on this topic called Feed the Brain, and it's about work that Abram Hoffer and Linus Pauling and these people that kind of conceived of the whole idea of orthomolecular therapy, which is getting the right molecules in the right amounts to balance the brain and other parts of the body as well, demonstrating that our brains cannot function properly unless they're fed properly. So that's one of the points I think is important. The other, there's several things. Hope, no matter how down, and negativity is definitely a part of mental illness more than any other illness. I mean, long-term illness, they all have depression and negativity associated. But that is mental illness, depression and negativity. And you lose hope after a while when you try all these different things and you still feel the same, or you're getting side effects from the medicines and they don't make you feel right. That just know that there's hope. If my mother is sick and at her age that she was, that she could come out of that, anyone could, with, you know, the right protocol for them personally and, you know, the necessary support from others to not isolate them. And mental illness is something that nobody wants to touch. And I also read just recently that in an article in May in the New York Times that people with mental illness typically live 15 to 30 years shorter than anyone else, because a lot of other problems they have are disregarded because of the mental illness. And so just hope that you can do it too. You can get out of this. There are all kinds of resources today, much more than when I was looking in the 50s. Not the 50s. For me, it was the 70s. My mother started in the 50s with trying to help her problem. But the other thing is knowing that so many people are impacted in this epidemic that we have with depression, suicide, and addiction right now is affecting so many other people. And certainly our healthcare budget is exploding because of this. And
another, we're seeing so many people act out in bad behaviors like the lone shooters. And, you know, that all goes back to mental illness. I mean, nobody who is of a sound mind is going to go out and shoot anybody intentionally. So
no.
They are ignoring, my point was that they are ignoring mental illness and suicidal tendencies. And some people go out and do that because they want to be shot and they want to die in their minds. And a lot of it goes back to low self-esteem, depression, extreme depression, and so forth. But until all of these issues are recognized and people read books like yours, I'm Hopeless, I'm Crazy, that provide a wealth of information, we're not going to make huge strides. It's like one step at a time. You also mentioned that five-needle ear acupuncture therapy in a group setting for the treatment of substance abuse, stress, anxiety, depression, insomnia, PTSD, cravings, trauma, and pain is helpful. So was that something you suggest that people seek out information on, is acupuncture?
Yes, yes. I think if they can find somebody that does not a protocol, it would be a good, very helpful measure to helping them sleep, helping them with stress, anxiety, depression, all these things. It works with all things mental. So I could elaborate on that for a long time, but I would just go to the NADA website and get information about that, and they can learn more. The other resource, of course, is NAMI, the National Alliance for Mental Illness. If they feel like they can't go on, call NADI. NAMI has a hotline, you know, for people that feel desperate or the need for more resources. And, of course, there's always looking into orthomolecular psychiatry and integrative psychiatry. I find that now more of the psychiatrists are wanting to kind of call themselves integrative psychiatrists that do more extensive therapies outside of conventional psychiatry. And if if a person can't do anything else, try to get some simple lab tests and find out where your endocrine system balance is, because sometimes just fixing a blood sugar problem is going to make a major difference. My mother's major chemical problem was extreme. This orthomolecular psychiatrist said that she was the most extreme hypoglycemic that he had ever come across. And
yeah,
you know,
nobody else picked that up, right?
Nobody picked that up.
And that's exactly what, you know, I'm trying to point out, is that unless you go the step further, and you're proactive and you don't accept, there's no hope, and you yourself said you have to have hope. And so, you know, if people are telling you there's no hope and you're going to accept that, or that you need your arm cut off, and you accept that and you don't go and keep finding people who are like, well, we can try this, you know, and let's do this test or that test. You've got to find and search for those people, and reading books such as yours, I'm Hopeless, I'm Crazy, is a motivational book as well. So we need to ask you, where can they purchase your book?
My book is available and can be purchased on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Ex Libris Books online.
Okay.
Yes.
And do you have any social media that they can find any information out on you or your book?
Yes.
Is that?
My book website is I'm Hopeless, I'm Crazy book.com. And then my professional website is through Dao Cloud. That's D-A-O Cloud, C-L-O-U-D, and that's my professional site, and they can learn more about me and go to my site from there as well.
Perfect. So are you working on any future books?
I am. I'm working on a book right now that is about dog death. And what I were talking about was such a personal and kind of difficult book, not so much to write it because it was almost like a catharsis. I had this information in my mind for over 30 years, and people, every time I told people about the story, that it's so important, you need to write about that. It took me a long time to get to that point where I could do that. But it was hard to publish it because it was very personal, but I felt I want to get this message out. I think this message, especially with the epidemic we have today, is more timely than ever. And but this other book is lighthearted and uplifting, and the other book is uplifting in the sense that it has a positive ending, but this book is uplifting throughout the whole little book. And it's about a little dog that showed up on our property that was in, we didn't know that he would make it, but he's still with us after 5 years, and he's taught me so many things about life, and he's such a love and joy and happy little guy that I wanted to share it with others.
Oh, that's a nice, lighthearted story. And so as we conclude the interview of I'm Hopeless, I'm Crazy, All About Your Mother's Battles with Mental Illness, and much more than that, and self-help tips that are provided, and motivational hope for people who either suffer or they have family members, friends, neighbors, and maybe want to help society as a whole. Tell us again, before we end the interview, your website and where they can buy your book, but also give us a message on what you would consider are the two pillars of health.
Well, I have a little caption in my book that says, you can heal yourself or you can cripple yourself with your mind. So I feel that one of the pillars of health is to try to put beneficial input in your mind, because ultimately what follows are beneficial actions for yourself and for others when the input is positive. And that's a lifelong practice, but I find that our mind is our own personal computer, and it's the way we program it. And I personally have to do refresher course every day when I wake up. So it's just part of my routine and kind of getting my mind in that more beneficial, positive frame so I can, I work with others almost every day. So I have to be ready for all that comes to me. And I allow people to talk, because I think sometimes they have to get things off their chest or minds, and so I have to be really ready for them. And so I feel that that's one of the pillars, just positive input. And I think that results in positive action. The other pillar, I feel I try to really encourage people to try to connect with nature, because I feel that I know with the medicine that I practice, all these old traditional medicines, and there's many of them, almost every culture has a traditional medicine, they all started before there was any biosciences, and we didn't have anatomy or pathology or physiology or anything like that. They studied the cycles of nature. And I just feel the more you connect with nature, and even if it's just 10 minutes a week, immerse yourself, focus on what you see around you, the smells, the sights, the beauty, and I know that it makes you feel better. So I've never talked to anyone, even if they don't believe in anything that we've spoken about today, that when they go and they go in the mountains or they go out fishing or they go to a park or somewhere that they're immersed in nature, it always helps them feel better. I think that's one of the problems we have is that we have removed ourselves from nature too much. I feel that nature has an order and that if we try to connect and pay attention to that order, that our lives will be more balanced.
Oh, I agree with you because we are part of nature. We come from nature. We're created and we go back to dust. And so this is just a book cover until we go to the next level after death, which is hopefully heaven. And so in the meantime, we must take care of the book cover and whether it needs repair or alteration, which could include, like you said, walking on the sand, taking a swim in the ocean, breathing in the ions, just getting in touch with nature, whether you're taking a walk in the rain, the wind, the sun. It is so important to our mental health. I totally, and not just physical, but mental health. I totally agree with you. And so we're at the end of our interview. I want to thank you so much, Linda Rae Anderson. I hope everyone goes to your website and looks up your information and also checks out your books, I'm Hopeless, I'm Crazy, and we'll look forward to reading your second upcoming book as well. Thank you, and God bless you, and keep up the good work.
Same to you, Rose, and it's such a pleasure, and thank you so much for having me today.
You're so welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And Linda Rae Anderson has left the building, and we're going to take a little break, and then I'll come back. And don't forget, though, that next Wednesday, again, we will have a very special author and expert coming on the show, and that is 12 to 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time in the USA, which is the West Coast, so you have to check your time in your area and your country. And again, thank you so much from all the different countries that listen in and to Colombo Chronicles with the Rose. Rose Colombo, you're so, so appreciate it. And I'll be back in just a moment.
Listening is an art that humans are losing to the world of robots. Robots don't have any tone or human feelings. The addiction to communicate by texting isn't going away. People are feeling isolated, lonely, frustrated. People need people willing to listen to them. Can you imagine getting a text message that read, "You're fired," or "Hi, would you marry me?" It is happening. Colombo Chronicles is the option and the answer to human communication. Colombo Chronicles provides email access to your ideas and issues. Take advantage of this opportunity now. Go to ColomboChronicles.com. Click on subscribe today. Colombo is spelled Colombo Chronicles. Fill out the form, submit it, bookmark and subscribe today. Remember the name, ColomboChronicles.com.
Well, that's all we have time for today, and I'll look forward to talking to you again next Wednesday. Stay healthy, stay happy, and eat organic foods, and take care of your nutritional needs, and read the book, I'm Crazy, I'm Hopeless, I'm Crazy, by Linda Rae Anderson. Bye-bye.
Rose Colombo is signing off, and she's left the building. Be sure to bookmark and share Colombo Chronicles Live every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. on the West Coast. Or if you're sleepless in the big city, that would be 11 to midnight on the East Coast. Rose Colombo says, remember, you're never alone when you tune in every Wednesday to Colombo Chronicles.